Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
4-1, the final score. Royals drop game two of this four-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. A series now evened up at a game apiece, setting the stage for game three tomorrow night. What a pitching matchup. Future Hall of Famer Zach Greinke squaring off with one of the best righties in all of the American League, Alek Manoah, 6:40 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air live from Kraft and Draft with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. But I'd love to hear your thoughts following this 4-1 loss to the Blue Jays. If you were one of the more than 12,000 in attendance tonight taking in Kauffman Stadium for the first time in 2023, share the stories. What's your takeaway, your first peek at this team up close and personal? Again, the phone number, the text line number, 913-586-7610. We can talk X's and O's. You know I'm always down to talk X's and O's. Decisions throughout this 2 hour and 32 minute affair. Again, 913-586-7610. Now, I know this is the time where we've all become trained while listening to sports radio to hear some sort of outlandish hot take. I ain't got it for you. Because today, tonight, this one feels fairly simple. You just lost. Now, many of you have heard the old adage, you're going to win 54, you're going to lose 54. What do you do with the other 54? This one tonight feels like it falls into the, well, you're going to lose some. You just lost tonight. Now, I don't say that as if, Toronto was heads and shoulders better than the Royals. Now, Kansas City inside that clubhouse right now, and we'll head down there. We'll hear what Chris Bubich, among others, had to say following this 4-1 loss. But inside that Royals clubhouse, I can't imagine anyone is hanging their head. They got nothing to hang their head about. Now, if you're 0-5, if you don't get off the schneid last night, okay, sure. Maybe guys are tight in there. But you got that first one last night. Eases some of the pressure. Relieves some of the burden that many of them felt showing up to the ballpark. Getting win number one out of the way last night allows me. Now, if you disagree, you can let me know, but it allows me to turn the page. Take the advice of old Uncle Bob Seger and just turn the page. Toronto was better tonight in every facet. Maybe outside of jaw-dropping plays. Okay, Royals had the edge there. Whether we're talking Franmil Reyes's 455-foot home run or Bobby Witt Jr. making what may turn out to be the defensive play of the year by the Royals. Five games into the season and we may have already seen the best defensive play. I don't know if the microphone picked it up in the post-game press conference, but Annie Rogers of MLB.com notes to manager Matt Cotrero, Bobby traveled 97 feet to make that catch. If you haven't seen the catch, go to Royals.com, go to Twitter, go wherever you go to see Royals highlights. If you haven't heard the highlight, we'll bring it your way before we get out of here. But top of the first inning, I mean, the very first batter, George Springer, the second pitch of the game, bloops one into no man's land between the center fielder, the left fielder, and Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop. That little Bermuda Triangle, not the one that Lorenzo Cain used to exploit. That one was in shallow right center field. This bloop off of the bat of George Springer fell, or was supposed to fall, in shallow left center field. Off the bat, being the wise guy that I am up in the press box, I say, well, that's a knock. That's a knock. Bobby had no chance and making this play as Bobby turns his back to the infield and runs straight to the left center field wall. Medium depth, left center field, back to the infield, dives. You know, I don't want to say it's Jim Edmonds at Kauffman Stadium 20 years ago, but for a shortstop, that's as close to a Jim Edmonds-like play that you're going to see. For the kids out there that don't remember the Jim Edmonds Anaheim Angels catch at Kauffman Stadium from what, like 01, 02? YouTube that bad boy. That's what Bobby did from the shortstop position. Just awe-inspiring. Bobby Witt Jr.'s box office, ladies and gentlemen. I know he went 0 for 4, but that's the type of talent. It's the reason why you buy tickets when the Angels come to town, because, man, I just want to be in the same building as Mike Trout. Even if he goes 0 for at the dish, he may do something in center field or on the base paths that I've never seen someone else do. I don't know if in my time in Kansas City, my time covering games here at Kauffman Stadium, I've seen a shortstop make a play like that. But outside of jaw-dropping plays, Toronto had the edge start to finish. They advanced runners at a better clip. They got more help at the bottom of their lineup than the Royals did from the bottom of theirs. Toronto's bullpen was better. Toronto's defense was even better. I know I'm lauding Bobby in that fantastic catch, but I'm not going to poo-poo Whit Merrifield's catch robbing Hunter Dozier of an RBI in the second inning. Now, George Springer played a solid center field. Shoot, even their left fielder, the former catcher, Dalton Varsho, making a nice play out there in left field, throwing Matt Duffy out at the dish in the second inning. So look, Toronto just played baseball better than Kansas City. That's why they walk away on top. Nothing to hang your head about, nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to get discouraged about heading into tomorrow. The 1-4 record is certainly not something to celebrate, but I'm not disheartened following this 4-1 defeat. Are you? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misreading the pulse of Royals fans. You let me know. 913-586-7610. Let's start off with Scott in Kansas City. Scott, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, man.
Yeah, we just was going to ask, me and my friend was going to ask about that lineup for one thing. Mm-hmm. We understand righty-lefty matchups, platooning and all that, what have you, but boy, Pasquantino and Melendez both out of the lineup tonight. I don't know. And then only one run. Again, that's two games with no runs and one game with one run. That's not, out of five games, that's a little spooky.
That's not good. No, you're right about that. Good. That is not good. No doubt, Scott. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah. For those that were not dialed in at the beginning of the game, the Royals lineup stacked righties. Every single right-handed hitter on the team, well, position player-wise, was in the lineup and hitting in the top six. Right, Witt, Olivares, Salvi, Franmil Reyes, Matt Duffy was your five-hitter, Dozier your six-hitter. Nate Eaton's the only other righty you have, but Nate Eaton going through it right now offensively, so he's dropped down to the eighth spot and flanked by the two best defenders remaining, Jackie Bradley Jr. and Nicky Lopez. Now, you were prepared, or the team was prepared and brought in Vinny Pasquantino late with a man on and one out. Royals at that time down only two runs. I like the decision to go to the bench. You're hoping Vinny can gap one, cut the deficit to one, or even get underneath one and tie this bad boy up there in the seventh inning. 3-1 at that time. Toronto would tack on another in the eighth, and that's your final score, 4-1. I mean, we can go through it. You look at the bench. The bench today consisted of Isbell, Massey, Melendez, and Pasquantino. Melendez had the day off. Just, it was a day off for MJ Melendez, who hasn't had a day off prior to today. DH'd, played right field in the first two games, DH'd on Sunday, caught yesterday, and now it's his day off. So it wasn't so much righty-lefty as it was MJ's day off. Yusei Kikuchi's on the hill, lefty-lefty, it just all adds up. Okay, so MJ is separate. Okay, so we all agree MJ needed a day off. That's fine. You're stacking your righties, so you got 7 of the 9 spots already wrapped up. Nicky Lopez is right now a better defensive player than Michael Massey. Okay, sorry about that. Nicky Lopez is a better defensive player than Michael Massey, so he's going to get the edge. He's going to be the guy at second base. Okay, so now we've explained away Melendez and Massey and why they're on the bench. Jackie Bradley Jr., well, now we could have a debate whether or not he or Kyle Isbell is the better defender. The track record, the Gold Gloves would say Jackie Bradley Jr. gets that edge. So we see Bradley in there in center field explaining why Isbell's starting on the bench. Now, as far as Vinny Pasquantino, his spot's already been taken with Dozier and all the righties getting the nod. So that's how you explain this lineup. You know, last night, Salvador Perez is on the bench to start the game, despite the fact the team is, 0-3. But it was his day off. It's not pick a lineup out of a hat. There's numbers, analytics, well-thought-out explanations. 5 games into the season, into the decisions coming from this coaching staff. I welcome it. I like the Royals attempting to win in the margins. Instead of, hey, Vinny, you're in there every single day and you're hitting in the same spot. MJ, Bobby, you're in there every single day and you're hitting in the same spot. I don't care how you stack it up. The Royals' talent pales, in my opinion, pales in comparison to the Toronto Blue Jays' talent. And to be honest with you, when you're taking on the big market teams, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, so on and so forth, when you're taking on those big market teams, quite often they're going to have a stark advantage when it comes to talent. So you need to win in the margins. You need to do not only the little things well, but you need to trust the numbers and try and find the slight edge. That's what this coaching staff has been all about. Look for the 51-49. 51%, 49%. It's not always going to work out, following the numbers, following the trends. But you got to take advantage of those slight edges that present themselves. And stacking righties against a guy like Yusei Kikuchi, who has dominated lefties for a majority of his career. I support the thinking. Unfortunately, the results don't match the process. But that's going to happen. You got to trust the process. Stick with what got you here if you're Matt Cotrero and the rest of that coaching staff. Thanks for the phone call, Scott. I appreciate it. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals drop game 2 to the Blue Jays. 4-1 the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Right-handed batter, and high fly ball that's going to carry out into medium depth left center, and a dive by Bobby Witt, and he caught it. Bobby Witt diving towards center field in an over-the-shoulder catch. Well, that's a terrific play, and factor in that the wind is pushing it away from him.
Man, great. Well, obviously, Denny Matthews, the Hall of Famer, but great point with the wind. I always feel strange going, like Denny needs a boost from me. You know, Vern agrees with Denny Matthews. No, great point. Great call. The Hall of Famer, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Bobby Witt Jr., maybe with the Royals' catch of the year here in just Game 5 of the season. Royals, though, lose 4-1. They jumped out in front to a 1-0 lead as Franmil Reyes hit a no-doubter. A full-count slider from Yusei Kikuchi, center cut. And it was destroyed by the big fella. 455 feet to left center field. 111 miles per hour off the bat. Gives the Royals a 1-0 lead. It's about as good as it would get. Four unanswered leads to a 4-1 Toronto win. To finish up the game notes here, also in that first inning, Nate Eaton, who has... like I mentioned, been going through it offensively, 0-4 the season thus far. Also a rough night defensively on a very difficult line drive last night right at him. Tough to read. Any of you that listened to me this offseason on the Hot Stove Show, you know what a fan I am of Nate Eaton. Wanted him on this opening day roster. Glad that he's on this 26-man roster, because that right arm of his is a weapon. And when you have a weapon like that and you've been unable to contribute in a big way to a win, when you're a competitor like Nate Eaton, you're going to rely on that weapon and hope to show it off when you get a chance. He got that chance in the first inning and airmailed. The cutoff man allowed Matt Chapman to move up to second base. Instead of runners on the corners and two outs, it's two men in scoring position for Chris Bubich with two outs. Thankfully, the 25-year-old lefty Bubich picked up Nate Eaton and got Dalton Varsho to fly out to end that first inning. So another rough night for Nate Eaton. He goes 0-for-3 with a pair of punch-outs and some, singular, ill-advised throw there in the first inning. Some other notes defensively. I thought Chris Bubich made a very nice defensive play in the third inning, showing a great reaction on a ground ball off of the bat of George Springer. No wasted steps for Chris Bubich. He darts right over to the first base bag, takes the toss from Hunter Dozier, and beats George Springer to the first base bag by a step and a half. Nice reaction time there by Chris Bubich. Speaking of first base, man, Vinny Pasquantino, I brought it up to Q after the game. For as much as I and we have talked up Nick Prado defensively, right? He's been likened to Eric Hosmer by some within the organization over the past few seasons. Vinny's played a very strong first base, including that awkward play with him and Aroldis Chapman. In the ninth inning, Kevin Kiermaier grounds the ball to the right side. Chapman's heading over, well, not towards the first base bag, but heading over towards the ball like he's going to field it, even though Vinny's already preparing to field it. Some confusion at the bag, but Vinny takes charge. A head-first dive towards the bag, tags the bag with the glove, gets the first out. Great hustle, great heady play to not try and beat Kiermaier to the bag with your feet. All you got to do is tag it with the glove. Nice job. Nice start to the season defensively for Vinny Pasquantino, who came in as a pinch hitter in this game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Outside of that, Carlos Hernandez gives up a first-pitch home run to Dalton Varsho in the sixth inning to make it 3-1 Toronto. Man, I'm not mad at Carlos Hernandez for that. Looking at the notebook, that's a first-pitch fastball, 98 miles per hour on the outside part of the plate. Credit to Varsho. This young man's just got some power. He goes with the pitch that's on the outside part of the plate, goes with it, and lifts it to the opposite field over the wall. Carlos Hernandez supplied the power. Dalton Varsho just got the head of the bat to it and let Hernandez's velocity do the rest. Carlos, you'll see two innings, one run on two hits. But that's more tip your cap to the opposition. And really, to me, that's the theme of the night. Toronto was just the better team top to bottom. I got no issue tipping my cap to them. There's a reason why they are the sexy pick to come out of the American League. Again, the final score, 4-1 Blue Jays. Royals record falls to 1-4 on the young season. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Wade in Seneca. Wade, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, what's up, man?
Not too much, man. I need you to turn your radio down in the background.
Put the radio down.
There you go.
All right, I got you.
Thank you.
Okay, I was just coming on here to ask you, what do you think of Hunter Dozier still, like, being in the lineup? Do you think we're just playing him because we're paying him that money? Or, like, I don't know, I've been watching these last couple of years, and he just hasn't done much of anything for us, and I'm just wondering what you think about that, and what your thoughts are on him, on the team.
I got you. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, it begins with the contract, no doubt. Dozier making $7.5 million this season, north of $9 million the year next. It begins there. It begins with, well, we owe him $16 million over the next two seasons. For those that want him traded, well, he's got to perform well first for the other teams around Major League Baseball to have a appetite to bring Dozier in to their organization. So he's going to continue to get opportunities. And listen, even though I don't need to admit this, I always like to keep it a buck with you. I was in favor of the Dozier contract when they signed it. Right, that was coming off that terrific 2019 where he looked like he might be a five-tool player. So I can't sit up here and use the benefit of hindsight and say, oh, you know, it's a sunken cost and what a bad contract. And you know, he hasn't been a league average hitter since that 2019 season. He's going to continue getting opportunities for the foreseeable future. And I can't present any other reason other than he's under contract. He's top five, top six on the team in salary. Right, one of the six, seven highest paid Royals this year. Now, it's not a ridiculous amount. Now, maybe in this market, $16 million is a lot of money, but outside of Kansas City, shoot, on the other side of Missouri, it's not a lot of money. You're obviously paying attention. You know what's going on with this team, Wade. Dozier's done nothing over the past few seasons to warrant 500 at-bats, 500 plate appearances like he's had each of the past three full seasons. Yeah. But it's a business, right? I'll tell you this, though. Matt Duffy has an ever-growing fan base right now in Kansas City. Duffy goes 3-for-3, singles in the second, in the fifth, and in the seventh. Matt Duffy making a run at the American League batting title early on this season. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, let's hope Duffy is in the lineup tomorrow and Dozier is on the bench. From the 816, Vern, quit saying it's his day off. I hate it. I hate it. Play to win every game or give me a refund. Well, again, it's a business. That's not how it works. I'm interested to see if you were even really at this game. And they are human beings. They do need days off. So, yeah, you're not getting a refund. They do play to win every single game. But as we've seen in the past, as we've seen over the past few seasons, when you are relentlessly chasing a win night in and night out, at the expense of your bullpen, at the expense of your players' psyche, the win-at-all-cost mentality ultimately ends up biting you in the back end. But good luck on that refund. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. Again, 913-586-7610. Royals lose 4-1. A quick highlight of what happened tonight down on the farm. I don't want to say he's the top prospect, because the top prospect in the organization is last year's top pick, Gavin Cross. But the top prospect as far as someone who could contribute this season, the Royals' top prospect is shortstop Michael Garcia, who tonight hit his first home run of the season, drew a pair of walks, scored a pair of runs, and stole his second base of the season. It's early on, only four games into the AAA campaign, but Michael Garcia hitting .438 with an OPS north of 1,200. So a nice night for Garcia. Nick Prado had a triple, drove in a run. Storm Chasers lost, but the two guys knocking at the door, Nick Prado, Michael Garcia, had nice nights. The loss at the big league level goes to Chris Bubich. He goes five innings, gives up two runs on seven hits, walked only one, punched out four. We'll dive into that text line and we'll hear from Chris Bubich after this quick timeout.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Problem with throwing a breaking ball to a right-handed batter is the wind. It hasn't been yet, but there it is now. There's a drive deep left center field. And gone, Reyes. Well, Reyes got a breaking ball all right.
Terrific. The Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews. Yeah, as he's setting that up, obviously knowing what was about to transpire. It's just amusing now. It's not surprising when the wise Denny Matthews predicts what's about to come down the pike. And that one was the longest home run by a Royal since Adalberto Mondesi hit one .464 just about 2 years ago. Franmil's bomb went .455. I remember that Mondesi home run, right? That was from the left side, night game, kind of bat flipped it. He was fresh off the IL, believe it or not. And it was one of those swings where you're like, okay, here we go. He's about to go on an MVP type of run. And, well, we wish him a speedy recovery. Whew, man. .455 by Franmil Reyes. That was his only hit. Goes 1-for-4. Well, shoot. Outside of that one hit from Franmil Reyes, if your name wasn't Matt, you didn't get a hit. Matt Duffy with the other three hits for the Royals. Yeah, four hits total. Second time in the first five games the Royals have been able to muster only four hits. Four hits back on Saturday. Four hits today. Two hits back in the opener. Now, congratulations, by the way, to Matt Duffy, who with that three-hit performance reaches 600 base hits in his terrific career. My game notes from this 4-1 loss at the hands of the Toronto Blue Jays are brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. Our text line, our Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Man, shout out Jay Southland Tow Service. They are everywhere. But the text line number is the same as our phone number, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I mentioned a previous texter saying, hey, if you're not going to try and win, give me my money back. He or she responded and said, Vern, I've actually been to every game. I've been to all five games. Well, my apologies. You are putting your money where your mouth is. I still don't think you're getting a refund. But my apologies. That's a diehard Royals fan right there. Although, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should look back on the text line yesterday. They won yesterday without Salvador Perez. It was his off day. Did you take umbrage with that? Or is it just because of the outcome we now take issue with the lineup? I don't think that's really fair. As long as the thinking is sound and is backed up by statistics, you can't be so results-oriented. In my opinion, you can't, or else you'll drive yourself crazy following this game. But again, my apologies. Thanks for the response. Again, text line 913-586-7610. We'll get to more texts coming up in just a moment. We'll get back to your phone calls. But I mentioned, and we heard Denny's call of Bobby Witt Jr.'s fantastic catch on the first batter of the game. 97 feet he traveled, as Annie Rogers of MLB.com pointed out. Back to the infield. A head-first dive towards left center field in that Bermuda Triangle in shallow or medium depth left center. Just a fantastic catch by Bobby Witt Jr. He spoke with the media moments ago. This audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City.
It was windy, so I just saw it up in the air, and I knew I just had to have a chance, and so it went, ran down, caught it. So,
yeah. Coming out there for a couple seconds, running out there?
Yeah, just one of those reactionary plays where you just kind of go get it, and so.
Have you seen the highlight yet?
I kind of watched it on the big screen whenever it happened, but, yeah.
How much was the wind kind of moving balls for you guys?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, everything was coming back to the field. You saw a couple plays where balls maybe look like they're going out of play and they come back. They make a play either or vice versa. And so really, you'd think it'd be more just kind of how the wind was blowing, but it wasn't as bad as you really thought.
How'd you read it off the bat? Did you think you had a shot of it out there?
Yeah, and then I knew got Gold Glove out there in center field, so I didn't know really how far I needed to be going. So and then I saw it up and just, because he said he didn't really know how the wind was playing either, so really just try to track it down and make a play.
What kind of a challenge was Kikuchi tonight going against him?
Yeah, just made some good pitches. I think kind of got myself out sometimes, chased a little bit, and then first pitch, or flatty got me back, I guess, making dive and play. But really other than that, just kind of got myself out in some ways and chased a little bit, but just got to get back going.
He sure does make the game sound simple. As if, yeah, just rolled out of bed, made the catch, you know, saw the ball in the air, ran after it and caught it. You know, what are you guys freaking out about? And I'm going to say something. This might come across as bold, maybe even outlandish, but I'm really happy Bobby Witt Jr. plays for the Kansas City Royals. I am very much going to enjoy these 157 more games this year in the remaining 4 years that he's at least under team control. Hopefully it's much more. But man, that is a box office young man. If you enjoy the game of baseball, he's worth the price of admission. And then you throw on top a guy like Zach Greinke, MJ Melendez, and Vinny Pasquantino, the arm of a Nate Eaton, the glove of a Jackie Bradley Jr. Should be a fun year. We'll get back inside that clubhouse. We'll hear from Chris Bubich coming up in just a moment, but I want to run through a few of these text messages. Again, the text line number, 913-586-7610. Andrea in Blue Springs, or Andrea in Blue Springs. Andrea, I need you to write in and let me know if I'm saying it right. It was... I think about this show way too much, and I was concerned that I was mispronouncing your name. Nonetheless, Andrea in Blue Springs writes in, Vern, let's talk about the beautiful night, the positivity of the crowd, and just an all-around great night at the K, other than, of course, the loss. Yeah, it was a beautiful night, other than the napkins and plastic wrappers flying all over the place. And was it just me, or did it look like the flagpole that the Canadian flag was attached to looked like that thing was going to snap in the seventh inning when that wind really picked up? I don't have a window in this little studio I'm broadcasting from right now, but hopefully it's safe out there. I heard some of the media members, as we were awaiting the post-game press conference from Matt Cotrero, I heard a few of the media members all worried, hail. Hopefully everybody's doing all right. Few more from the text line. Joey in Grain Valley giving some love to Chris Bubich. I think he deserves it. Riley in Lackawanna. Vern, I was worried about Chris Bubich coming back in the fifth inning given his history, but he looked good, looked in control, looked noticeably more comfortable on the hill than he has in the past. And Vern, I think that's something to build on. Yeah, Riley, great point. From the 816, Vern, number one, I saw positive progress from Chris Bubich. Still too many pitches in five innings, but generally a better outing than I had hoped for. Yeah, coming into this one, my hope was four innings and keep them in the game. You got to give me four innings and you got to keep the Royals in the game. I threw a 22-pitch first inning, a 21-pitch second inning, a 17-pitch third inning, and a 20-pitch fourth inning. So Chris Bubich was at 80 pitches after four. Already had gone through the lineup twice through four innings. And they send him back out there. They send him back out there to face right-handed hitting, the powerful Bo Bichette, the even more powerful Vladimir Guerrero, and the, oh, don't sleep on his power, Matt Chapman. Bubich goes out, faces three righties, retires the side on eight pitches, and gets Matt Chapman to swing through a changeup in the dirt. For him to finish off the fifth and go through those names on eight pitches, that to me eliminates any concern about the 20-pitch first, third, and fourth. I was thoroughly impressed with that final frame from Chris Bubich, and yeah, as you said, outperformed my expectation. So kudos to Chris Bubich. Unfortunately, he is saddled with the loss despite five innings, two runs on seven hits, only one walk, and four strikeouts. Let's hear what Chris Bubich had to say after this one to Annie Rogers of MLB.com, and this audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Obviously, I would love to, you know, keep the pitch count down a little bit early. I think we got ahead in counts, but then kind of middle of at bats, you know, maybe throw some pitches outside the zone, and then you know, have to come back in with two strikes, and made some mistakes over the middle with two strikes that they hit, and you know, just obviously want to not have ABs go, let's say, more than five pitches. But overall, I thought the stuff was good. You know, Salvi was great back there. I mean, holy hell, Bobby, first play of the game. I mean, you don't see that very often, especially with the win that we had tonight. But yeah, you know, just going to continue to build from this and continue mixing everything in.
And what's going through your head when you see that ball hit and everybody running out there?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be interesting because it's off the end of the bat, and it's kind of in that in-between zone, kind of bloop territory. But I know he's got crazy speed, and I thought I figured it was going to be an outfielder before it was going to be him. But obviously a pretty insane play, and I mean, he's one heck of an athlete. So
yeah, and you heard when we played Bobby's conversation with the media, you heard Annie Rogers ask, you know, about him feeling like an outfielder. I'll tell you what, Bobby could play anywhere. He could play anywhere on the diamond. But that catch right there should reinforce any wonder about his ability to possibly man center field down the line. I'm not saying that's coming. He's the shortstop, and he has this entire season to prove to the front office that I'm an above-average defensive shortstop, not to mention an all-world talent offensively and on the base paths. Thanks again to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio of Chris Bubich. Some more love coming in for the 25-year-old lefty. Anthony in Blue Springs says, Vern, Bubich pitched a solid five innings, but still the bats a little concerning. Hopefully they'll figure it out. Thanks for your time. Which bats? Are you, of course, we're all hoping that they all turn it around. But in a season in which many admit is all about evaluation, is all about understanding what this team has moving forward and how many of these pieces are core pieces. How many of these guys have turned question marks into exclamation points. Question marks about Bobby's defense, about MJ, Vinny, Massey doing it for a full 162 beginning with game one. Now Salvador Perez as he continues to get up there in his 30s. Kyle Isbell, Drew Waters, not only defensively in that spacious Kauffman Stadium outfield, but also offensively. Can you hold your own, getting regular at-bats. You hope they all answer to the affirmative that yes, we can handle it. Yes, you can build around us. But just knowing the sport like you do, right? Knowing the sport like most of you listening do, you know it's not going to be 100%. You know you're not going to get a thumbs up from everyone. You know it's not going to be an affirmative from everybody 1 through 9 in the lineup or 1 through 13 of the position players on the team. But you're hoping 60, 70% of them end the season on a high note and prove to this front office and to this ownership group that, yeah, you go out and you sign this bat, that starter and this reliever, and we're ready to go heading into 2024. So, yeah, you hope the offense gets it together. But I don't know even the most I don't know many, even the most diehard of Royals fans that believe this lineup is going to be a juggernaut or we're expecting this lineup to be a juggernaut. My opinion of this team and this offense has been since spring training, if the Royals are going to be good, it's going to be because of their offense. Now, you can't be good without solid pitching and defense. Yes, we all understand that. But your stars are your position players. Bobby, Vinny, MJ, Salvi. And then you're hoping someone like Drew Waters, Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey, Nick Prado, Mikel Garcia can add to that core four, extend the lineup, and suddenly you're seven deep with guys that can change the game with one swing of the bat. So I'm with you. We're all hoping for an offensive turnaround. But with this many unproven, inexperienced position players, it's unlikely to happen overnight. Thanks for the text message. A few more. 913-586-7610 from the 816. Vern, I've listened to every game but one. Guess which one I didn't listen to. Vern, I love my Royals. I'm rooting for them, but let's see how many more they can win when I don't listen. It's now my superstition. Good, yeah. That's a good baseball fan. You're a smart baseball fan. If the only time you haven't listened, they've won, stop listening. But please continue to listen to the post-game show. Please. God knows I need it. From the 918, Vern, they need to leave hitters in the lineup after they get hits the night before and stop sitting them the next game. They've done it multiple times already this season. Melendez, Olivares, to name a few. Okay, yeah, all right. That's fine. I do think we're nitpicking. I didn't see that text last night. Because remember, Sunday, Edward Olivares went deep and Matt Duffy went deep. The Royals scored four runs, 75% of their runs, 100% of their runs came because of Edward Olivares and Matt Duffy. Each one of them drove in a pair. And the next day, neither one of them played, and the Royals won 9-5. We can't be solely focused on the results. You brought in this new coaching staff because they weren't going to go about things the way that managers and coaching staffs have followed, the blueprint that had been laid out for decades prior to the analytics revolution, right? You brought in this coaching staff because they view the game differently. They understand in a market like this with a talent pool like this going up against big markets like this with Toronto that you need to trust the numbers. You need to believe the percentages. And just because tonight you were bested by Toronto doesn't mean you and then throw it all in the trash. I mean, that's what you do if you don't have conviction with what you're doing. If you're making it up as you go, you go, okay, that is wrong. Who was good today? All right, you're going to play again tomorrow. That's kind of panicky. That doesn't show me leadership, conviction. It also doesn't really give your players much of a heads up. You tell a guy, "Hey, you're getting Wednesday off. So you can enjoy time with your family tonight. You can sleep in a little bit longer. Enjoy your wife's birthday or your kid's first day of school, whatever it might be. You're getting tomorrow off." And then that guy goes out there and goes 2-for-3. You're going to go up to him and go, "Hey, you know what? Forget everything I just said. Man, we are desperate. We need you. You were good tonight. You're going to be good tomorrow. You're back in the lineup." No, that's not, in my opinion, indicative of a confident, convicted leader. And it's certainly not reflective of someone that believes in the 26 men as a unit. No, you just believe in whoever's hot. Yeah. You're just riding the roller coaster. And if anyone in the world is not allowed to ride the roller coaster of a baseball season, it's the manager. All right, a few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Stefan writing in, "Vern, I'm feeling strangely content tonight. Maybe it's getting the first W under our belt last night. Maybe it's your brilliant reference to the great Jim Edmonds earlier in the broadcast. Maybe it's the clubhouse from last night and the comments that came out of the clubhouse after the win, suggesting that this team is playing loose and trying to make adjustments based on sound analytics. Vern, it's a long season, and the 2023 Royals are trying to find every edge they can, and I'm all for it." Signed, Stefan. Man, that long-winded answer I just gave the previous texter, I should have just shut up, read that text, because that was much more eloquent and succinct. Thanks, Stefan. One year in the remaining 4 years that he's at least under team control. Hopefully it's much more. But man, that is a box office young man. If you enjoy the game of baseball, he's worth the price of admission. And then you throw on top a guy like Zach Greinke, MJ Melendez, and Vinny Pasquantino, the arm of a Nate Eaton, the glove of a Jackie Bradley Jr. Should be a fun year. We'll get back inside that clubhouse. We'll hear from Chris Bubich coming up in just a moment, but I want to run through a few of these text messages. Again, the text line number, 913-586-7610. Andrea in Blue Springs, or Andrea in Blue Springs. Andrea, I need you to write in and let me know if I'm saying it right. I was I think about this show way too much, and I was concerned that I was mispronouncing your name. Nonetheless, Andrea in Blue Springs writes in, Vern, let's talk about the beautiful night, the positivity of the crowd, and just an all-around great night at the K, other than, of course, the loss. Yeah, it was a beautiful night, other than the napkins and plastic wrappers flying all over the place. And was it just me, or did it look like the flagpole that the Canadian flag was attached to looked like that thing was going to snap in the seventh inning when that wind really picked up? I don't have a window in this little studio I'm broadcasting from right now, but hopefully it's safe out there. I heard some of the media members, as we were awaiting the post-game press conference from Matt Cotrero, I heard a few of the media members all worried, hail. Hopefully everybody's doing all right. Few more from the text line. Joey in Grain Valley giving some love to Chris Bubich. I think he deserves it. Riley in Lotawana. Vern, I was worried about Chris Bubich coming back in the fifth inning given his history, but he looked good, looked in control, looked noticeably more comfortable on the hill than he has in the past. And Vern, I think that's something to build on. Yeah, Riley, great point. From the 816, Vern, number one, I saw positive progress from Chris Bubich. Still too many pitches in five innings, but generally a better outing than I had hoped for. Yeah, coming into this one, my hope was four innings and keep them in the game. You got to give me four innings and you got to keep the Royals in the game. I threw a 22-pitch first inning, a 21-pitch second inning, a 17-pitch third inning, and a 20-pitch fourth inning. So Chris Bubich was at 80 pitches after four. Already had gone through the lineup twice through four innings. And they send him back out there. They send him back out there to face right-handed hitting, the powerful Bo Bichette, the even more powerful Vladimir Guerrero, and the, oh, don't sleep on his power, Matt Chapman. Bubich goes out, faces three righties, retires the side on eight pitches, and gets Matt Chapman to swing through a changeup in the dirt. For him to finish off the fifth and go through those names on eight pitches, that to me eliminates any concern about the 20-pitch first, third, and fourth. I was thoroughly impressed with that final frame from Chris Bubich, and yeah, as you said, outperformed my expectation. So kudos to Chris Bubich. Unfortunately, he is saddled with the loss despite five innings, two runs on seven hits, only one walk, and four strikeouts. Let's hear what Chris Bubich had to say after this one to Annie Rogers of MLB.com, and this audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Obviously, I would love to, you know, keep the pitch count down a little bit early. I think we got ahead in counts, but then kind of middle of at bats, you know, maybe throw some pitches outside the zone, and then you know, have to come back in with two strikes, and made some mistakes over the middle with two strikes that they hit, and you know, just obviously want to not have ABs go, let's say, more than five pitches. But overall, I thought the stuff was good. You know, Salvi was great back there. I mean, holy hell, Bobby, first play of the game. I mean, you don't see that very often, especially with the win that we had tonight. But yeah, you know, just going to continue to build from this and continue mixing everything in.
What's going through your head when you see that ball hit and everybody running out there?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be interesting because it's off the end of the bat, and it's kind of in between zone, kind of bloop territory. But I know he's got crazy speed, and I thought I figured it was going to be an outfielder before it was going to be him. But obviously, a pretty insane play, and I mean, he's one heck of an athlete. So
yeah, and you heard when we played Bobby's conversation with the media, you heard Annie Rogers ask, you know, about him feeling like an outfielder. I'll tell you what, Bobby could play anywhere. He could play anywhere on the diamond. But that catch right there should reinforce any wonder about his ability to possibly man center field down the line. I'm not saying that's coming. He's the shortstop, and he has this entire season to prove to the front office that I'm an above-average defensive shortstop, not to mention an all-world talent offensively and on the base paths. Thanks again to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio of Chris Bubich. Some more love coming in for the 25-year-old lefty. Anthony in Blue Springs says, Vern, Bubich pitched a solid five innings, but still the bats a little concerning. Hopefully they'll figure it out. Thanks for your time. Which bats are you... Of course, we're all hoping that they all turn it around. But in a season in which many admit is all about evaluation, is all about understanding what this team has moving forward and how many of these pieces are core pieces. How many of these guys have turned question marks into exclamation points? Question marks about Bobby's defense, about MJ, Vinny, Massey doing it for a full 162 beginning with game one. Now, Salvador Perez, as he continues to get up there in his 30s. Kyle Isbell, Drew Waters, not only defensively in that spacious Kauffman Stadium outfield, but also offensively. Can you hold your own getting regular at-bats? You hope they all answer to the affirmative that yes, we can handle it. Yes, you can build around us. But just knowing the sport like you do, right? Knowing the sport like most of you listening do, you know it's not going to be 100%. You know you're not going to get a thumbs up from everyone. You know it's not going to be an affirmative from everybody 1 through 9 in the lineup or 1 through 13 of the position players on the team. But you're hoping 60, 70% of them end the season on a high note and prove to this front office and to this ownership group that, yeah, you go out and you sign this bat, that starter and this reliever, and we're ready to go heading into 2024. So, yeah, you hope the offense gets it together. But I don't know even the most die... I don't know many, even the most diehard of Royals fans that believe this lineup is going to be a juggernaut, or we're expecting this lineup to be a juggernaut. My opinion of this team and this offense has been since spring training... if the Royals are going to be good, it's going to be because of their offense. Now, you can't be good without solid pitching and defense. Yes, we all understand that. But your stars are your position players. Bobby, Vinny, MJ, Salvi. And then you're hoping someone like Drew Waters, Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey, Nick Prado, Mikel Garcia can add to that core four. Extend the lineup, and suddenly you're seven deep with guys that can change the game with one swing of the bat. So I'm with you. We're all hoping for an offensive turnaround. But with this many unproven, inexperienced position players, it's unlikely to happen overnight. Thanks for the text message. A few more. 913-586-7610 from the 816. Vern, I've listened to every game but one. Guess which one I didn't listen to. Vern, I love my Royals. I'm rooting for them, but let's see how many more they can win when I don't listen. It's now my superstition. Good, yeah. That's a good baseball fan. You're a smart baseball fan. If the only time you haven't listened, they've won, stop listening. But please continue to listen to the post-game show. Please. God knows I need it. From the 918, Vern, they need to leave hitters in the lineup after they get hits the night before and stop sitting them the next game. They've done it multiple times already this season. Melendez, Olivares, to name a few. Okay, yeah, all right. That's fine. I do think we're nitpicking. I didn't see that text last night. Because remember, Sunday, Edward Olivares went deep, and Matt Duffy went deep. The Royals scored four runs, 75% of their runs, 100% of their runs came because of Edward Olivares and Matt Duffy. Each one of them drove in a pair. And the next day, neither one of them played, and the Royals won 9-5. We can't be solely focused on the results. You brought in this new coaching staff because they weren't going to go about things the way that managers and coaching staffs have followed. The blueprint that had been laid out for decades prior to the analytics revolution, right? You brought in this coaching staff because they view the game differently. They understand in a market like this with a talent pool like this going up against big markets like this with Toronto that you need to trust the numbers. You need to believe the percentages. And just because tonight you were bested by Toronto doesn't mean you and then throw it all in the trash. I mean, that's what you do if you don't have conviction with what you're doing. If you're making it up as you go, you go, okay, that is wrong. Who was good today? All right, you're going to play again tomorrow. That's kind of panicky. That doesn't show me leadership, conviction. It also doesn't really give your players much of a heads up. You tell a guy, "Hey, you're getting Wednesday off." So you can enjoy time with your family tonight. You can sleep in a little bit longer. Enjoy your wife's birthday or your kid's first day of school, whatever it might be. You're getting tomorrow off. And then that guy goes out there and goes 2-for-3. You're going to go up to him and go, "Hey, you know what? Forget everything I just said. Man, we are desperate. We need you. You were good tonight. You're going to be good tomorrow. You're back in the lineup." No, that's not, in my opinion, indicative of a confident, convicted leader. And it's certainly not reflective of someone that believes in the 26 men as a unit. No, you just believe in whoever's hot. Yeah, you're just riding the roller coaster. And if anyone in the world is not allowed to ride the roller coaster of a baseball season, it's the manager. All right, a few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Stefan writing in, "Vern, I'm feeling strangely content tonight. Maybe it's getting the first W under our belt last night. Maybe it's your brilliant reference to the great Jim Edmonds earlier in the broadcast. Maybe it's the clubhouse from last night and the comments that came out of the clubhouse after the win, suggesting that this team is playing loose and trying to make adjustments based on sound analytics. Vern, it's a long season, and the 2023 Royals are trying to find every edge they can, and I'm all for it." Signed, Stefan. Man, that long-winded answer I just gave the previous texter, I should have just shut up, read that text, because that was much more eloquent and succinct. Thanks, Stefan. One more. This is from Tanner. He writes in, "Vern, I love the aggression last night. Nicky Lopez swinging away with two on and nobody out. He hits that triple. Nice seeing Bobby swipe a bag and Brady pitching a gem. Seeing sound fundamental defense. But unfortunately, Vern, I haven't seen it in any of these other games. But the fact that I saw it last night gives me hope. We just have to put ourselves in position to be aggressive." Yeah, no doubt, man. I talked about it earlier today on the On Deck show. And my big takeaway last night, and you even saw it on a few occasions tonight were guys picking up one another. Nate Eaton airmails one in the first inning, but Chris Bubich has his back. And to me, that's all a part of the growth of a young ball club. First, you got to believe in yourself that you belong in the big leagues and you're good enough to stay in the big leagues. First, you got to believe in yourself. Then you got to believe in the guy behind you in the lineup, behind you if you're on the mound, behind you if you're coming out of the bullpen, who's going to be the next guy. Once you believe in yourself, you believe in the guy behind you. Well, then, yeah, then to me, it just comes down to playing smart, aggressive base run, smart, aggressive baseball. Because if you believe in yourself, you're not afraid to make a mistake. If you believe in the guy behind you, you're not trying to do anything more than what you're being asked to do. You're not trying to do anything more than the task at hand, because even if I don't win the game with one swing, or even if I'm unable to accomplish my job, I trust the guy behind me is going to pick me up. So you don't press. You don't grip tight. You're not trying to hit that five-run home run. You'll take that lazy opposite field single. Pass the baton. Keep the line moving, as we used to say. Tanner, thanks for the compliment as well. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. So the Royals fall in game two of this three-game series to the Blue Jays by a final score of 4-1. The record is now 1-4 on the season. But game three of this series comes your way tomorrow night. And boy, oh boy, what a pitching matchup we have in store for you. A pair of right-handers. One of the great vets of our game, the great Zach Greinke, takes on one of the young up-and-coming aces in our game. Zach Greinke, Alek Manoah. I don't know where else you'd rather be tomorrow night. Hope to see you at Kauffman Stadium, 6:40 for the first pitch. Beyond Deck Show begins live from Craft and Draft at 5:30. Thanks again to Chris Unocero back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night, Kansas City.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.